Not me, not Hermione.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Neha.
I'm Afreen.
Welcome to Dramione Diaries. This is a podcast where we read and react to Draco and Hermione fanfiction. In this episode, we are talking about
Disappearances of Draco Malfoy Part 2.
Yeah, we had to put it into two parts because there's so much that happens in the second part as well.
Yeah.
I feel like the second half of the disappearances is when like shit goes down.
So basically we left off
where they kissed.
Yeah.
They finally got together. Kiss. Thank God. It just took half of this.
It actually takes so long.
I'm so long.
Dying. It makes sense. At the same time, I'm also like, once they kind of acknowledge their attraction to each other and get rid of Ron.
I'm like, come
on. Things are moving quick. Because basically, like, he starts noticing, like, they have the Halloween, like, little haircut situation.
Mm-hmm.
Then she tries to ghost him and can't. They go to Muggle London, and then that day, he's like, yeah, I'm going to plant one on her.
And plant one on her, he does.
Yeah.
So good.
So good. I love their kiss. And then they kissed like in the middle of like practicing for getting Flint.
Yeah. The old trick in the book, you know, pretend you're flirting and then actually flirt and talk about real feelings.
Yeah. And I thought it was really cute how he was like jealous because he's like, I can't take her to like a bar.
Yeah.
But I'm like, Flint does not, you please, understand.
Look at his teeth.
No, apparently he fixed his teeth.
Do you think it's kind of insulting that like someone has to confront him? Like,
I was a little insulted, for sure.
It can't just be her charm.
But I was like, what if it's that the confundus is that he falls like hard and fast because like they just meet like once, and then they're going to keep meeting. But like that first time.
Yeah.
He asks her to the ball. So, yeah, no, I was also just like, what the heck? But then I was like, okay. And I remember Draco, like, because him and Harry are, like, in the bar, like, watching the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, Draco's like, oh, God, I hope. And, like, Harry's the one who does the confundus. And Draco's like, shit, like, I hope he didn't, like, F this up. It's like, what if he starts, like, drooling on Hermione's shoulder?
Oh, yeah. Hey, man. I think he would prefer that than, like, no, them literally actually flirting.
And Hermione also, like, when she realized Draco was jealous, was, like, and, like, she's just, like, egging him on. She's like, yeah, you know, he's not horrible to look at. Like, you know, he fixed his teeth and got taller.
No, but also, I feel like, why did Hermione say that?
No, I know. She's just like, let me make this worse for you.
It's a delicate situation.
She's
Alexa,
like, I can
play delicate by Taylor Swift.
But nevertheless, she persisted.
Yeah.
Got her date. Him and like Harry, Draco and Harry are like, they got their cater waiter jobs. Everything's falling into place. And then like, after their planning sessions, Harry's like leaving to go to bed. And him and Hermione are just like canoodling.
Yeah.
So cute, actually.
I like how their faces are just raw because of their disguises.
Yes. And they have to keep peeling off this prosthetic plastic stuff and then putting it back on.
I'm like, aren't you guys wizards and witches? Like,
yeah, can't you spell it off? And then they have to put Mertlap on their face to soothe it. It's giving aloe. So they've just been having this routine, and then the time comes to go to Lilamont Lake because it's like December 1st and the note's set to come to Lilamont Lake on December 1st, and it's Professor McGonagall.
Oh my God, hi.
Yeah, hi. But she also sees Draco and she's like, okay.
And then Hermione has to defend him, like, no, he's been helping us.
Yeah, yeah. And also she's like, why is he not defending himself? Like, he's the first one to like rise to like speak up for himself. But also because he's been, I really like that. You kind of see him being more introspective because the more time he spends with Hermione, I think he gets like all this guilt rising up slowly and slowly like his past and everything that he's done.
Yeah. Which is like, again, it's all very like realistic and normal feelings that like, you know, obviously he can't just be with Hermione and all of his like a past goes away or he just like forgets that he terrorized this poor girl for like years.
Exactly. So he begins kind of like, it's like the first step in like the reconciliation process of like him with himself. Like you kind of see that internal growth and struggle.
Yeah, as he should. I love a man who can recognize his problematic path and move forward.
Some emotional maturity is so good. Yeah, so then like McGonagall, like I like that they all just sit and like chat for a bit. And she's like, this is where she's also like, Malfoy, your friends are like causing ruckus. And he's like, why is she kind of proud of that?
Also, can I just do a shout out to ETL Echo? Like it's on AO3, but like all of her accents, I feel like are so spot on. Like
McGonagall's Hermione.
Yeah, that's why I was reminded of it. Because Hermione's is obviously like she has the vocal fray down.
Yeah, no.
Ron! Ron's been speech. Like thing that.
It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
She just like sounds just like Emma Watson.
No, literally. And then McGonagall, she's like that. Potter.
No, it's like because with McGonagall, it's like a Scottish accent plus like her little, like, again, the vocal fray. Like,
yeah.
It's perfect. Like, good job.
Pitch is so good.
Yeah.
They do so many accents for their audio fix. I'm just like, wow, it's amazing.
I'm just immersed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ETL Echo. I have the whole Disappearances thing downloaded, like Podfic downloaded on my phone.
Hell yeah.
McGonagall's like, oh yeah, I'm going to bring Hagrid over so that you can tell him headquarters. And also, like, I love that she's so proud of Hermione for doing the Fidelius.
Yeah.
And like
it's a doozy.
It was a doozy. And with like Harry, like when she learns that the headquarters are at Godric's Hollow, she's just like so proud of him. And Draco, like I like seeing Harry through Draco's eyes because he's like expecting Harry to kind of like, you know, like be shy and like modest. And Harry's like, yeah, those were my parents and I'm gonna finish the job. Aww. And he's like so proud of himself. And like the fire is like a light.
Yeah.
About hell yeah. This war.
Hell yeah. Definitely like a stark difference from like Canyon Deathly Hallows Harry, who's just like, I don't know, I'm camping and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, zero directions, zero clues. Everything is sad. We're going to cry.
They camp so much.
It's so gray and blue. It's like the blue tint is so, it's giving Twilight in Deathly Hallows. But
even like in the book, it's just like no matter what page I turn to, they're just
camp. We're at camp. The Forest of Dean.
The most depressing camping trip of their entire life.
It lasted actually forever.
So long.
But yeah, so then like, yeah, they have like some direction now. And also like they have so many things that they're working on. And then like all of a sudden like the gala thing like comes up on them.
Mm-hmm.
This chat, like these couple chapters are so crazy. Yeah.
Crazy, like so busy. Many things happen. I'm like at the edge of my seat.
But first and foremost, he like see, like also I like that she goes to get her dress robes, won't let him see them. Like she's like, no, it's a surprise.
Oh my, she's like, I know I'm so hot and I want to see his face.
Yeah, I also kind of like I want to see like obviously he's attracted to her, but like remember she was like, well, when she was like having a whole crash, she was like, I'm not really pretty.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm just so smart, but I'm just, she's like, I'm just not pretty enough. Like, I wish he had, like, been like, no, I'm so obsessed with you. But maybe she can just tell because he's, like, not leaving her alone.
Yeah, maybe, it, like, his tongue down her throat, like, gave something away that she was pretty. Yeah.
You're right. And also, like, right before they're about to leave, like, I think this is the first time where he's, like, the consequences of this going wrong are so real, and it's like that fear for like Hermione's safety.
Also, they're going back to his manor.
Yeah, and he was like kind of excited about that. He was like, I'm gonna go home, but then he like thinks about Hermione
and he's like, ooh.
He's like, ooh.
Also, he's just like, I like how he's just like, oh, well, the guests use like the East Wing bathroom. Yeah.
and Harry and Hermione are just like, well, I'm going to take dinner on the East Wing patio. And he's just like, fuck,
he's
you
like,
guys.
You're making fun of my culture.
Not the culture. And so, yeah, so they get in, like, she's with, what's his face, Flint, and like, everything's like crazy. She has to pretend to be all like pure bloody. And I like that they have like such a plan. Like they have little hand signals planned out. She runs into like a disguised like Sturgis Podmore and Tonks right away.
Mm-hmm.
And Sturgis Podmore was like one of the people. I forget who he is in canon. Do you know?
Sturgis Podmore was a wizard and a member of the Order of the Phoenix who fought in both First and Second Wizarding Wars. He was also a member of the Advance Guard. In 1995, Podmore was put under the Imperius Curse by Death Eaters who made him attempt to break into the Department of Mysteries.
Oh.
Interesting. He was hate crimed so much.
Just hit after hit. And so in this fic, he was one of the people who did like, he helped conceal the Malfoys basically in disappearances.
Mm. Also, Angelina and Oliver Wood are there.
Mm-hmm. I love Oliver Wood.
Yeah. And we learned that Ron is not with his family.
Yeah.
So immediately
she also
they're like,
sees the Weasleys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And immediately she's like, okay, he's probably been captured.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. I'm just like, Ron, what the hell, bro?
And they still don't leave. They're like,
yeah, because the Fidelius hasn't been like given up yet,
I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think they would know? Like, would they know if a Fidelius has been?
I think if some rando apparates in and starts avada-ing people, yeah, I feel like they know.
Okay, sorry. Fair enough.
I don't know. I wonder if there's another way. Fidelius charms are like the craziest thing that came out of canon for me. Like, I don't understand them.
Yeah.
I didn't even understand them fully until I read fanfics.
Also, it's like so funny how they have the Fidelius charm, but then also like people can just come into your house through like the flu.
Yeah.
They're weird with their boundaries. Wizards?
I don't understand. But you can't get a Fidelius, like you can't break a Fidelius through looking in some like a legitimacy session.
Also, it's still dangerous if like they... Like, they're like, oh, my God, suddenly the Potter's house is, like, missing, and then they're all outside.
Yeah.
Like that's still
the
dangerous.
The second
like,
you set one foot out the gate, like, you're effed. And also, can they hear things? Like,
I don't know. I think she probably does some, like,
muffliatos. Okay. Lots of questions.
Sorry.
No answers.
I don't know. Can you tell me how Draco goes into the dungeons?
Yeah, so basically what happened was he's just like having a hard time processing that he's like in his house, like after not being home for so long. He's like and he's looking at the guests at the party being like, this would be my life, kind of like having to live this nightmare if I hadn't agreed to like pretend I died. And also he's just like, okay, but also my absence kind of means nothing. Like they're just up to their, and so anyway, he's like, he talks to like one of the other catering people and she is like, oh, I'm sorry. Did somebody say something to you? And he's kind of like in the middle of like a mental little breakdown. And he's like, yeah, they did, but nobody really did. And so, but then he just needs like a second to himself. Mm-hmm. And so he like goes a little further away. He's looking at how they've like changed his whole house and like changed the furniture.
I know, because it's not just like him that's gone, it's like his mom and dad.
Yeah, they've erased basically the whole Malfoy's existence. And then he sees I think like the foyer or mm-hmm. I think that room, what is it, the drawing room, mm-hmm. where like in canon Hermione had been tortured. Yeah. But he remembers seeing like a man, like a muggle man that Voldemort had tortured there. So he's literally like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's having a little bit of like a mental breakdown, but then he like, I think, goes a little further in and hears like a sound down the stairs from like, because I think he was near the door to the dungeons.
Oh, it's just Luna throwing herself at the door.
She's like, hello, is anybody up there? very Luna-like, but yeah, so that's how he like
learns that Luna is
finds
down
Luna.
There.
Yeah, so then, yeah, he's like, okay.
Ollivander's also down there.
Yeah, Ollivander's there. I think like we learned that a little bit later, but he has to lie to Luna and be like, because she also doesn't know that he's still alive.
Doesn't she ask for food?
Yeah, she doesn't know there's a party going on, obviously. Yeah. So then when he tells her, she's like, oh, so I guess you can't help us get out then, but could you at least get us some food? Because she's like, because she asks what day it is, and it's like I don't know, like whatever. close to Christmas, and she's been there since like the 19th or something, and they hadn't fed them since the day she got there.
That's awful. I know. I also think this also made me realize, like, damn, Luna really was in canon just trapped with Ollivanders. Like,
I know.
I don't know. Like, sometimes when I read, I'm like, I need logistics. Like, did you get pads when it was your period? Like,
oh my God.
Like,
yeah.
What are your feeding schedules? Like, where did you pee and poo? Like, was Ollivant, like,
it's a chamber
you
know. Pot? Mm. I don't know. Or it's just like a vanishing charm.
And like, Ollivanders is there, and you guys are both like stinky.
The same questions we had for Manacled Hermione in her little cell. Like, we have, hello, we have some questions.
Yeah, but I love how Senla and you just like patiently like answered all of these. Like,
I know. A million, millions of Tumblr asks, millions and billions.
Yeah. So Draco is just like, okay, I have to get Luna and Ollivanders like out. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Because this just, like, he just added that to their plate. I'm like, Draco, you do have a good heart.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of, like, one of his, like, I feel like he didn't really have a tipping point, because the whole point of this fic is, like, the way he kind of grows into the man he is at the end. And this is, like, one of those things where he's like, oh, my God, like, there's nothing we can do. We're just going to have to leave them here. But then he's like, wait, like, this is my fucking house. Like, mm-hmm. I know the place. Like, the back of my hand, we're gonna do something. And so then goes to get Harry. But also, like, Harry and Hermione are like, where the fuck is Draco? And have to, like, continue their part of the plan. Because they don't know what's going on, obviously.
But, and then also, like, doesn't... So meanwhile, Hermione, like, is able to confund and, like, Umbridge. Like, she's able to, like... also, like, obliviate Umbridge and whatever.
And basically, she was waiting for Draco to come.
Yeah, because she gets the locket because she's so clever. And she's like, oh my God, I have the locket.
Also,
and then
they just overdose her with diarrhea pills. Like, not pills, sorry. I think they put something in
like
her
a
thing.
A laxative potion?
Yeah, like a slow release.
Diabolical.
I know. I'm like, that. You know what? She, the toad had it coming.
Diabowel. Sorry.
Diarrheal. How funny are we? It's crazy. It's crazy.
If I can try and do even a smidge of a pun, I'm going to take it.
We give you all of this for free.
You're welcome. Also, like, so Hermione's like, oh my God, I just got the locket. And she's like, oh my God, Draco's going to be so impressed. And Draco's just like stressed. Like, he can't even be happy that they got the locket because he's just like, how are we going to get?
Yeah. He's like, follow me. And they have a little like seance in the dungeon.
Also, like, do you think he knew that there was dungeons in his ancestral home? Like, I feel like that would kind of send me into a spiral if, like, my home had dungeons.
No, I think he knew about the dungeons. I think he had never seen them with occupants.
He's like, oh, shit, this could
He's
be
like,
used.
I used to play hide and seek in here with Dobby.
And I used to make him
be in the dungeons, most likely. Ooh. Basically, I think come to the conclusion that they need a
Death Eater's wand to open the...
Yeah.
The door, because I like how Hermione's like, yeah, no, obviously you're so right, Draco, we need to get them both out.
Yeah,
you know.
And yeah, and then like Drake, I think also Draco and Harry, it's really sad, kind of look at each other and it's like, okay, well, like Harry, if he gets caught, somebody's gonna kill, like Voldemort's gonna kill him. Draco gets found out, somebody's gonna kill him. But it's like, if Hermione gets caught, like, they're going to do so much worse. And it's like, he has like another moment of like, let's just send her home, because he just like doesn't want to risk her. Aww. And she kind of like, and like he sees her watching him realizing it. And like, it's, I feel like it's just like such a like jarring moment that it's like in this war, like for now, like their little romance was so, like fun and like something that was in Godric's Hollow. And then this is like, damn. Is shit's getting real. Basically, have to go steal a wand, and Hermione's like, "I'll do it." And Draco's like, "Please, no." She's like, "No, no, no." And also, in the middle of all this, like, Flint won't fucking leave her alone. I'm like,
"Oh yeah," he's like, "Hermione, will you dance with me?" Like every not Hermione. What is her name?
Morelia something something, he's from,
like,
Dubai.
He's like, "Morelia from Dubai, will you please dance with me?"
And she's like, she remembers being like, when she first realized he like liked her so much, she was like, damn, I feel kind of bad that I'm like leading him on. I'm like, bruh. But then he like grabs her hard AF, and she's like, yeah, I don't give a shit about you anymore. I'm like, okay, I'm glad that
that'll do it.
Yeah, that did it for you. I'm glad.
How do they steal Yaxley's wand?
She like bumps into him, spills wine on him or something.
Classic.
But also, I don't get why, but Draco goes up. I think like, do you know why? Like, you know, he has to go up to his old childhood bedroom as like a cater waiter and has to get like Knot and Pansy and everybody out. And that's where he overhears them basically like Goyle is like, Crab is like talking shit about him.
Yeah.
Pansy and like.
I felt so bad for him here. Like, imagine like hearing your, like you've died and your old friends are just like talking mad shit about you in your own room, in your house. I felt so bad. And it's just like, and Hermione was there too hearing it, right?
No, she wasn't with him.
Okay.
But it was just him. That's why I'm confused why he kind of had to go up to clear out that room. Oh, basically, I think their plan that they throw together is they're gonna get some brooms, they're gonna basically dress Ollivandra and Luna up as like guests, clean them up.
So was he just trying to get some like stuff in his room?
I think he was trying to clear out the passageway because they were gonna leave out of his room or like up on the, basically to get them upstairs without anybody noticing. Okay,
and then surprise, he gets
he has to
shot
hear.
On.
Yeah, he just has to hear himself being.
I know, but you know,
dragged.
You know who defends him is Pansy Parkinson.
I just need to.
Because nobody has because nobody is emotional is in emotional handcuffs than like an ex girlfriend.
Honestly, in front of, and she's dating Theo.
Oh yeah, and she says this all in front of Theo because Theo also like. Doesn't say
care
anything
about Draco much. So he just has to hear all that, and then he has to pick his pieces of himself up off the floor, going and be like, "Excuse me, somebody's calling you downstairs." And also, as they're leaving, like he just hears
Pansy
being like, "You could be on my side for once," to Theo, and Theo's like, "You could act like we're dating for once."
Both valid points.
Young love. Am I right? So they basically like they have to be careful because like all the windows and stuff are like locked with caterwauling charms. And so I think like basically it all goes wrong because freaking Flint won't leave Hermione alone and she can't get away from him, and she like by then Yaxley is like, that girl took my wand, like, or whatever. And so by the time Draco's coming back downstairs, he like realizes that they have Hermione. It just all like goes to shit from there, basically.
Yeah, because I think Yaxley is about to Crucio Hermione, and obviously Draco won't stand for that.
Yeah.
And then all like Hidden Order members like start popping
up. Yeah, love that.
And then they fight their way out, and then like
it's so funny when Tonks like goes to start fighting and Hermione's like, no, you Tonks, you can't risk yourself. And Tonks is like, can.
She's so right. She's so like, I'm funny. A grown woman.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm part of the Order of the Phoenix.
Pregnant
actually.
AF.
Yeah. She can do it all.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm just kidding. Sorry. I like how Umbridge is like, she stole my necklace. Like, they're just being revealed. Where the fuck are Luna and Ollivander? Like, everything is going to shit.
Luna and Ollivander are getting cleaned up. Now Harry's dressing them up downstairs, like, for a tea party.
Oh, my God. Harry always missing in action. Like, Draco and Hermione have to do everything.
Basically, like, they a whole fight breaks out. And
Crab... just like fiend firing every like what
sets
are you talking
the whole place
about?
On fire. He's insane.
He's
actually
crazy.
But basically the like whole like I think they're basically you can't operate out of there, right? And you like you can't leave. I think like they're going towards a fireplace. They can't, like, they start getting blocked off from that. Crab sets the freaking manor on fire. And then, so then people are running out of there, I think, and trying to get to the apparition point.
Yeah. And then because Crab's in it, like, I guess like the other crew are like in it with their wands out, like doing things. Yeah. And then like, I think Pansy is about to hit Hermione or whatever. Yeah, and Draco, like, motherfucker is like, Pansy, stop.
Pansy, stop. And she's like,
with her full chest, she's like, Draco.
I think she's just like, what? But by then, like, you know, he, and then also there's a point where she kind of joins him and like the rest of like Hermione and all the order members with Aguamentes.
Yeah.
To fight the fire and like burn like a little passageway in so that they can run.
Yeah.
And so that's how they like run to the apparition point.
So Pansy like comes in clutch.
Yeah, she like it just pops up right next to Draco the second she hears his voice.
Just a little chaotic evil.
Hermione's like, I don't need your help. I'm just kidding. But
and then we get a Pansy chapter.
Yeah, like a little section type thing. And basically it's like because like everybody who couldn't escape, which is like Tonks, Sturgis, the Weasleys. Yeah, Percy, I think.
They get arrested, sent to Azkaban.
Yeah, and also Percy, like ends up, like, helping his parents, even though up until then he was, like, I'm with the Ministry of Magic.
Do you know who I am?
And do you know who I am? I work for the Ministry of Magic. So, yeah, I think, like, they basically are interrogating everybody. They give Pansy, not Aguamenti, they give Pansy Rare to Serum. And she's like, I don't have to, I can't lie, but I can also not tell the whole truth. Or I can tell, like, lots of truth. And so she basically just, like.
Yeah, I heard his voice. Yeah. I heard Draco's voice, and Draco's voice made me stop, and that's why I was helping them.
Yeah.
And Bellatrix is like, are you okay? Yeah,
she's not even there at first because also Pansy gets written off as like a little schizo, like maniac, because she's like, and I dream about him sometimes, and I'm like, I pretend to be having fun with my friends, and instead I'm just crying in the bathroom, and I like haven't been able to sleep for months and months, and it's kind of sad because also she's like not lying about any of it, like that all of those things, like low-key she's traumatized, so they're just like, okay, this one's just crazy, but then like I think. When Bellatrix,
it's like she has Veritas arm, and then she gets like legitimized.
Yeah, and so then I think when Bellatrix sees like his face, like Draco's face, obviously she can low key recognize, and so she's like, "Oh hell no!"
Yeah,
and has to go like, I think she goes and like opens up their little graves. she's gross.
Yeah, just exhumes. Like almost exhumed bodies.
Yeah.
So they go to Shell Cottage.
Yeah. Luckily, it's the holidays.
Yeah. Luckily. And no, not for Draco because everyone's shitting on him.
Yeah, that part's just for a quick second.
Yeah. Everyone is like, why is Draco like helping? And obviously, like Hermione and Harry this time.
Yeah,
like,
shout out
them.
Harry.
Yeah.
You know, like Harry does have to say like one thing and people believe him about Draco. But like meanwhile he's like literally we had to prove ourselves to the Death Eaters, and they were still like so ecstatic when we died, obviously. He's like, I never, like, that loyalty never existed the way that like he thought it did.
Yeah, true. And he's, I just guess you, like, do have to earn your way into the order, and then once you're in, you're like,
well, you're kind of in. Yeah, they got you.
Hermione also gets information where Draco's family parents are.
Oh my god, yeah, when she's talking to the Weasleys. Mm-hmm. And she like doesn't want to tell him low-key.
Dude, I wouldn't either.
Yeah,
I think it's so noble of her to tell him. Mm-hmm. Because I would kind of like, I don't know, I'd wait until he said the L word, and then I'd be like, by the way, I know where your parents are.
By the way, I forgot until now.
I needed to trap your ass.
Yeah, so he's just like, okay, I have to go get them. But she's like, well, I guess you're going to have to like pretend. We're going to have to stop kissing every night. He's like, no, I won't let them say anything to you.
She's okay.
Like, you won't let them. She's like, okay. But yeah, so he has to go. But we see like basically, like, Bellatrix is on her little rampage.
Yeah.
Goes to the crypts, opens up their graves, like, screams. Yeah.
And goes then and then the next chapter, I like how it's, like, I don't know, following her to go to Azkaban. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. I think, like, the way that we weave into different perspectives, like, it's really cool. Really nice and mm-hmm. seamless. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she goes to Azkaban and she, like, goes to the Weasleys. And also, like, Sturgis. Why can I never say his name? Sturgis. Podmore. And he's like, where is my sister and my brother-in-law? And then, but, like, it's kind of sad that she, like, you know, Crucios them. And she realizes that, like, mm-hmm. Draco must be with, like, Hermione and Harry yeah. and whatever, like, Ron. But she's just like, oh, my God. And this is where we find out that you can't, like, perform legilimency and try and find, like, the secret keeper.
The Fidelius charm, yeah. But she does end up finding the location where, like, the Weasleys had for his parents.
Oh, yeah.
So she stations herself to go, like, ambush them.
Yeah.
Also, F off with, like, Narcissa and Lucius because they, like, Imperioed a muggle yeah. and have just been living in his house and kind of turned him into their, like little butler.
Oh, my God. And crazy. It was so sad that, like, Draco can imagine, like, what his parents are yeah. saying. Like, look, Lucius, they come in handy after all. Like, yeah. that was kind of sad.
Yeah. And he's embarrassed. And yeah. you know what? It's good that he's embarrassed. Like, you kind of see that, like, oh, he understands, like, yeah. like, the weight of it is not, like, lost on him.
Why can't they keep destroying the locket? Like, why can't they destroy the locket?
There's, like, some bubble of, like, protection around them and they, like, they can't touch it.
But I love that Draco loves to see Hermione being a girl boss. He's like, yeah, she's like, and you do that, and you do that, yeah. And he's just like,
she makes a chore schedule slay. I too would need that.
And Draco's just like watching from a distance, like a goofy smile on his yeah. face. Like, that's my girl.
He's like, you should go into management and like you can like be the minister of magic and like affect change from the top down. And she's like, actually the only way to affect change is actually from the bottom up.
Okay.
He's like, okay.
He's like, that's the last time I compliment you.
He's like, I'm literally going to fund your entire campaign.
Yeah. And then we read BSAP. No, I'm just kidding.
And I was just thinking about BSAP. Yes. But yeah, so then, yeah, basically the order is like now getting together. They have basically headquarters. They're setting up safe houses. There's a, like a reinformation campaign that they are planning. They're gonna like either like fly pamphlets over to like because basically there's been such like a propaganda campaign against like Harry and Hermione and everybody, obviously. I'm also like so satisfied to see that like people are donating money and stuff and like leaving food and donations. They have like drop sites. I'm like, thank God, because I'm just wondering how they're gonna feed all these people.
Yeah, I feel like that's what we don't get in canon is like you like have, the Deathly yeah. Hallows, like there needed to be like a sister book or like a companion yeah. book where like novella or whatever where we see like what's happening yeah. at like the Order, what's happening in Hogwarts and like yeah. I don't know, like
and this how is, the war kind of like got organized, like how the resistance yeah, organized
because
themselves.
Why does the Order of the Phoenix just feel like they meet at Molly's house?
Yeah, while she makes like a million things for dinner. I'm like, okay, and feeds like 20 people. Like the most that we got for canon was like Fred and George's radio thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then also like I thought it was really interesting non-canony about this. Like they have a whole plan to like free all the house elves in Hogwarts.
Like, yeah, but you know what? Like, they, like, I just feel like elf magic is so strong and, like, we don't really, like, see it being utilized
yeah.
as well. Because I'm just thinking, like, where were the elves when they were trying to protect Hogwarts, like, in canon?
True.
Where were they? They're yeah. just like, we gotta keep this place spotless.
Well, maybe, okay, in canon, though, were the elves paid in Hogwarts?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, so, well, remember, like, doesn't Creature lead them?
Yeah, Creature does something, but I'm talking, and, like, obviously house. Dobby does things, too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he really helps them with his, like, elf magic. Rip. But Like, where were there was like hundreds of elves in Hogwarts.
Yeah, there's like one scene where like Creature is like running out with all of them.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. In canon?
Yeah, because remember in canon they kind of do like Creature some justice, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because they like go sure. back.
Listen, sometimes when I like re-listen, I just stop at after like the sixth book because Deathly Hallows is just like too much camping
it's
for
so
me.
So much camping. I don't know.
I think like there are such like I think there are cool elements to canon. Obviously, like you get the Malfoy Manor and then going to Gringotts and like all of those things. Like those are really cool and like the Ministry and whatever. But then it's just like so much camping in the middle of it that I'm just like so over it.
We only like camping when Draco and Hermione are kissing every night in the tent.
Now, how do they like know that they need to find the Elder Wand?
Basically from so they know they've like been putting like I don't think they know it's called like the Deathly Hallows yet, but they've put together like the
Death Stick or whatever.
Yeah, they know about the Elder Wand, and I think they know that Voldemort is looking for it now.
Yeah, do they know that it was Dumbledore's?
It together,
but is Dumbledore not buried with it?
He's not buried with it because he died when Snape killed him on the broom with Hermione. Oh. And then Hermione's also like, when we were at Scavengers Guild, I talked to Miss Ma'am over there and like learned about like
she,
like a locator spell. And so that's what they start using to go and find the Elder Wand, because like Draco's like, okay, your cloak is like crazy, your invisibility cloak. And then Harry's like, oh my God, maybe he accounted for all of them, because like, I wonder what's in this, the thing that's in this snitch is probably the resurrection stone. And then they're like, oh, maybe he accounted for all three of them because he won that wand from Grindelwald.
Yeah, I have to say it is really like satisfying to see them put the pieces together like way faster than in canon.
And I'm going to give all that credit to Draco. Yeah. Because Harry was not thinking thoughts.
No, you know, he's just all action.
Yeah.
No thoughts. It's also interesting. We get like we finally get a Narcissa Lucius perspective.
Yeah.
And they find out that the manor was burnt down by fiendfire, and Narcissa like loses it as a mother obs, but she's just like she's just convinced that like obviously he has to go along with all of the orders, like reckless plans, and she's like, we have to meet Draco.
We have to go to that location and see if he comes today.
Yeah.
And she convinces Lucius because she's like, let's go really, really early, not exactly on time. And if anything looks suspicious, like
we'll leave.
But then the second they get there, Bellatrix is already there, like, and she bonks them.
Dude, I don't understand Bellatrix.
She's
with
fuming.
Sissy. Yeah.
She's fuming.
She's not happy her sister is alive.
You can see through like Narcissa's eyes that like, oh, yeah, my sister's lost all of her marbles.
Yeah.
She's going to, like, because I think she, like, tortures Lucius for a second. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, 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 like, don't kill us. Like, don't kill Draco.
No, we'll be double agents. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, don't worry. Like, blah, blah, blah.
And she's like, you can deliver Harry Potter to the Dark Lord. Gets her on his side or whatever.
Yeah, and they're like, okay. And then she leaves. And then also it's so sad to see, like, in Draco and Hermione's perspective, because they're, like, sharing a room. And, like, Shalcott is just, like, having, you know, their alone time. And then he, like, watches her sleep like a little creep. No, it's fine. We loved it when Edward Cullen did it. We love it when Draco Malfoy does it.
Draco can watch us all sleep any day he wants.
Yeah, so he's just like, okay, peace out. I have to leave my peaceful girlfriend.
So he goes to, like, meet them.
His parents.
Yeah, and they're all just, like, staring at each other. And then I think they, like,
hug.
Give him a big old hug. And he comes back, and I think, like, everybody in the order...
He brings them back to the headquarters.
Yeah.
Does he warn them that he's bringing them back?
I think he does. And I think all of the order knows that they're coming, so they're all just, like...
On edge.
Imagine you operate in, there's just a wall of Gryffindors staring at you.
And so many of them are gingers.
And an angry French girl. But, yeah, so then, like, I think they're, like, all kind of being civil. And then Harry or whatever is like, yeah, you can eat dinner by yourself. Like, we'll bring you groceries, or you can join us.
We'll pitch a tent for you in the backyard.
Yeah. And he's like, or you can eat dinner with us, like, join us. But that means that you have to be civil and also, like,
do chores.
Do some chores. And so obviously Lucius can't keep his fat mouth shut. And it's like, do you expect us to, like, take orders from, like, a mud And then like Draco like jumps in.
Yeah.
He's like, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like his father is like, what? Clutches his pearls. Yeah, like.
Actually, Lucius is shooketh.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you wouldn't do more chores than other people because Hermione
distributes them.
Yeah, so yeah. Evenly.
He kind of like I feel like he started really strong and then he saw the look in his dad's eyes, yeah, and he like backtracked a little out. Bit. But Hermione like gives him so much grace and she's like, yeah, you like defended me.
Yeah.
And I think Draco, rightfully so, kind of like feels so guilty. He's like, that wasn't defending me.
Like, I barely did anything. Sorry that my dad's a piece of garbage.
Hermione just keeps, she gives a lot of grace to this Draco.
It's actually so nice. Obviously, listening to us, that could not be us. No. We'd be like, do more, please.
Yeah.
We don't deserve a redeemed Draco Malfoy. No. But also,
not good enough for us.
Yeah. Also, he's just like, wow, my parents are the same as like they've always been, and he's done all this growing and he's like, they're just right as I left them, basically. Mm-hmm. And A, like Hermione thinks that like she can get his dark mark off, so she's having that discussion. Lucius and Narcissa are trying to talk to him about like,
yeah, they're also trying to see if he's been like confunded or imperiod because Draco's so willing to like be such a member of the order. But basically they see nothing wrong with him and they're just like, shit, how do we get him back on our side?
And then
also they have to like update Bellatrix. Mm-hmm. They have like a mirror.
Yeah.
And they just say her name and she like appears. Yeah, which is really cool how she brings like other stuff from canon.
Yeah. Into this fic. Sirius's mirror.
Yeah.
Because like the sisters like all used to talk to like their cousins with them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Cause Narcissa thinks about Andromeda and Bellatrix a lot now.
Aww.
Yeah. And she's also like wondering, like, oh, maybe I'll see Andromeda. At some point, she's like curious about her.
You're also actively trying to like dismantle the order.
She is, but she's like low-key losing the fire, kind of. But do a little more, please. Yeah. Get there faster, Narcissa.
Harry finally speaks Parsel tongue to open the locket.
Yeah.
And the locket says a lot of stuff about his parents. Yeah. I don't know. The locket be talking.
I think the locket. Draco Malfoy, youngest heir of the Malfoy line. Some nonsense. I don't know. lots of mumbling, lots of whispering, and Draco.
Draco stuff.
Yeah, Draco gets to do this one.
Yeah.
Slay.
I don't know, like with the exhilaration of stabbing the locket. I'm really glad he did. I love it when in a fic, like, Draco helps hunt and destroy Horcruxes. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I think that is such a redeeming.
Yeah, it's thing. A part of his healing journey.
Yeah, I think it's like, not only do I need some like internal healing, but like some external, like actively trying to kill the Dark Lord.
Yeah, like this is it. And also, like, when Hermione did the diadem, like it only spoke to her, but the locket and like everything it says about like his parents and trying to like assuage him onto their side again, like Draco and Hermione can hear, and like they kind of like it acts out basically his internal like debate, like between the loyalties to Hermione and the order versus like the loyalties of like a Malfoy. And so after it's destroyed, they're just like, oh, so that's why you've been like such a wreck. And he's like, yeah. And it just all like he just spills the beans about like how they want him to spy and how like he doesn't understand why they're still exactly the same. And he's just like, I don't know what to do with them. And Harry's just like, let's lead them on. And it's really sad because like Draco's like, yeah, that's easy for you to say. Like, nobody's ever going to question your motives. But if I put like one like
toe out of line.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I'm already like halfway through the plank,
prove
man.
Myself. Yeah. And that was really sad. And it was like nice that he was able to like articulate that, because I think Harry did see it and he was like, okay, you don't have to. And after Harry leaves, like he also just like looks at Hermione and like gets all of his apologies and guilt out from like the last like couple months that that's just been building up.
And she's just like, I see you.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, it's giving Avatar. I see you.
Hell yeah.
Draco
agrees to spy, but like doesn't want to put his parents in danger, like obviously. But is surprised when Harry's like,
Harry like understands. He's like, yeah, don't put your parents in danger. And Draco's like, damn, that was easy. Because like, obviously, like with the Death Eaters, they were like willing to literally like risk it all.
Yeah.
Including but him.
Also, one thing about Harry is he understands the parents' love.
No, yeah. Yeah. So then Draco's like, wait, look at where I am right now. Like, yeah, he understands. I think doesn't agree to talk to Bellatrix yet, but like he tells his parents that like he's kind of been gaining their trust and all this time.
Yeah. I think it's like really interesting that his parents are like, oh, finally he's back with us. Like,
no questions asked. Yeah. The order is still like moving. The twins start their radio station. They're trying to figure out like where Hufflepuff's cup could be. Also, like, it's funny because, like, in the midst of all of this, like, Hermione sees, like, Draco, like, making amends with Hagrid because he was feeling really guilty about that. And then Buckbeak is there. Like, hello, Buckbeak. And, like, she just looks out the window one day and, like, Buckbeak's, like, looking at Draco. Draco's looking at Buckbeak and bows.
And he looks at him. And he looks at me.
I'm just like, oh, that's really nice, actually. But yeah, everything's getting like, I think the tensions are kind of rising and you see that with like time going on and like the stakes are getting higher.
Yeah. And Narcissa be snitching to Bellatrix, like keeps at that, even though she's like wondering about Andromeda. But she finds extendable ears. Like Fred and George
sweep the room.
Like they just leave those around.
They give that shit to anybody. Also, amidst all of this, like, because they've been kind of letting correct information slip, like, Aberforth gets attacked. His missions were just to, like, gain supporters, get in touch with, like, potential allies. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't think that, like, they purposefully let this information go. They don't know that Narcissa and Lucius have been listening to them. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that they overheard was Aberforth's location. So, you know, that Death Eaters were able, like, basically got to him. And so he came back real injured. And it was, like, really scary. And this is when, like...
Like, Draco kind of gets all sobered about Hermione and like they kind of like realize what's at stake and like they're both just kind of like I can't lose you I can't lose you
and also Hermione's like he looks at me
also I like how they have these little like tryst moments and like the supply closet
or just like randomly drags him to the library
we're
practicing occlusion so Aberforth gets attacked and like I don't know if this just put the fear of God in them
and not God because
they were not good Christian kids
No. they had biblical relations before marriage
biblical relations crazy
puts them in the mood or whatever but
lead me not into temptation.
I do think this is the most realistic like way that both of them kind of lose I was gonna say lose their virginity. Draco's not a virgin.
Draco you little
sorry
was a pansy.
Yeah probs
Okay.
It's okay. She...
He goes... she was like, okay, well, I don't have as much experience as you. He goes, I'm not going to grade you on an owl scale.
He's like, unless you want me to. Like, why is that them flirting?
He tapped into her...
love language.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was like really sweet.
Yeah. Also, like, this fic is not like a smutty fic.
No.
It's not super explicit. I think she does a really good job of like... getting you right up there but then she kind of like closes the curtain.
Yeah, I do think it's like really nice that like you see like the desperation in them and like how they're constantly just like clutching
like hanging on to each other. Yeah. The war aspect of it still comes through even though it's like a
Dramione fic.
And it's not like it's a lighter fic. It's still like it like pays homage to canon but I feel like it also just like really makes the reality of war like in your face and like the strategies and everything that go behind it.
I thought it was homage.
So sorry.
No. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right.
So they go like all over Muggle London trying to find this damn wand.
Oh my God. Imagine just this, just in the streets. I'm in the breeze, I'm in the trees, whatever, whatever.
And I'm in the breeze.
I'm in the trees. The elder wand is somewhere on the ground. They find it one day. God bless. I can't believe they were just.
They're really lucky.
On foot, just in the trash everywhere. Yeah. But they finally like get back to headquarters and obviously they're really excited. But
there's been a mass revolt at Azkaban. Yeah. And
I like that there's randomly a newspaper that comes out midday. Midday.
The Daily Prophet.
Yeah.
And Ron Weasley's at the front of it. Ron.
Yeah. Just has a deluminator in his hand. Ron.
Ron. Ron. Ron's
Ron's been breaking out of Azkaban.
And but, then we got a Ron chapter. Yeah, okay,
it's a little bit of a flashback.
Yeah, I feel like as a Ron hater, mm-hmm. it's really important for us to read this chapter.
It is, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. at first I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm being tortured. And I have to
You're
read.
Like, no, please, no.
Take me back. They just did it. Go back.
Yeah, so it takes you back basically to October. Like Ron left.
Immediately gets caught.
Immediately. Like, that was so embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for you, Ron.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And then he gets rounded up with Dean Thomas and Ted Talks. Ted Talks.
How did Ted Talks get caught? He was just running.
He
probably said Voldemort. but he has to like basically like along the way, like be really like, I think he lies. He can't be Stan Sean Pike. They catch that lie really quick, but he basically has to seem unimportant because I think because he's Secret Keeper, you can find the Fidelius charm in his mind.
Yeah. So I don't know how he gets away with it. Like the only gingers in this goddamn
earth are the Weasleys. Somehow, some way, I think like he makes
Harry Potter's
so.
Best friend, and they're like, "Who is he?"
Honestly, yeah,
yeah.
But also, it's been said that he's like been sick at the Weasleys.
Oh yeah, and they checked up on him, and nobody wanted to go near the ghoul that they did. He still has his deluminator, so while he's like rotting in Azkaban, he opens it and closes it. He
somehow
keeps doing it.
Just like come, like is that a deluminator thing in canon? It just like came back to him, like because it just showed up in his pocket one day.
Maybe,
yeah, in Azkaban.
But I do think, like, do you think were they talking about Ron? Like, I don't because I feel like,
yeah, like basically he kind of hears voices come out of it, mm-hmm. and like he hears Hermione, I think, saying his name, and Harry like saying his name.
Yeah. And that's probably after, because he gets caught immediately. I think there was them talking about like, what do we do about Ron? Like, Ron, where's Ron? And then he starts whispering to it like a lunatic.
Like a crazy person. Do you like my notes?
I like
like a lunatic.
I gotta say, like, I gotta say, like, when this girl basically gets moved into the cell next door, and like she's like, my name is Elaine. I'm like, that's not your name.
That's not your name, babe.
That's not your name.
Anything about Elaine.
But anyways, he just starts like trying to console her because she's like crying.
Did you know when you were first reading this that it was Pansy that was next to him?
I think I knew it had to be like somebody. I didn't know it was going to be Pansy.
Okay.
I was like, it has to be someone. Like, who is it? Did you think it was Pansy?
I was almost certain it was Pansy, but I was like, damn, who else could it be, really?
Yeah.
Because I was like, she must have gone to jail because they heard that the Parkinsons went to jail after their whole thing.
Anyway, they both start to like confess to each other. He's like, tell me your nice stories. And it's like, because when he opens the deluminator and you like tell nice stories, it like gets stronger or something.
Yeah. And if you like say things about yourself, like I'm a really good friend. And so then he also starts passing it around on like their little prison walk. And I think he tests it one time. And like it pushes a dementor away.
Oh,
and so then he sees that it's getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of his plan. And then also, like, I think it's funny that like they're just like falling asleep to each other's like voices.
Stories. Yeah.
They like put each other to sleep with bedtime stories. And he's like, oh, I wonder if she's lovely. I'm glad Pansy's not like, a Weasley.
I know. I think she has no options when she's in jail.
Issues. Yeah, you're right. You're right. She's also like losing it. She's like crying. Like towards the end of Ron's chapter, he's like, yeah, she's fading away. I'm like, Pansy, get it together.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's asking.
She's like, I have no happy memories. I'm a Slytherin.
No, I know. But basically, like his Illuminator keeps getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
And then months later, he like uses that shit.
Yeah.
It like repel. It like is so strong. It like helps him break
get
out.
Like all the dementors away from him. Then he has to break out, steal wands from some of the guards, has to have a little tussle with them, starts unlocking all these things, and everybody's looking at him like, what now? Because basically
he's
like
the leader.
Yeah, because you can't operate out of there unless you get to an apparition point.
Mm-hmm.
So then like there's reinforcements coming, but they're basically just waiting until everybody runs to like gets to that point so then they can attack them there, like all the ministry people and Death Eaters or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's like looking to him, and I guess shout out some Desi wizard that was like imprisoned.
Shout
like
out.
Some Indian man was like, what if we just like attack the anchor? And Ron is like, yeah, attack the anchor with like arithmancy and whatever, like the apparition anchor, I guess. I don't know what any of this means exactly.
No,
but
obviously it would be a South Asian, like it would be like an Indian man being like, let's do math. Let's
the,
math this.
Yeah, and math the engineer physicist in prison is like, I got this, guys. And is reporting directly to Ron. And then like a wall like breaks out of nowhere. Oh, how did the order break into Azkaban after the prisoners were breaking out of Azkaban?
I don't know.
Like how did they get in but they couldn't get out with all these prisoners?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Anyways, they're
all
there.
That happens is that the order arrives and yeah. they help and yay.
It's a whole thing. Like, yeah. And then because there's order members there, like all of the Death Eaters are coming in hard, and he, like Draco is also there under Polyjuice. Harry's there under Polyjuice, but they split up. And also I think it's so funny where like they all see Ron kind of in charge, and yeah. Fred and George are like, I think Ickle Ronnykin's not so Ickle anymore. And Hermione's just watching like whoever the Indian guy was come being like, okay, yeah, so I did like the arithmancy for this and like looked at the anchor and all these big sciencey arithmancy words. And Hermione's just like,
and you're going to Ron?
Ron knows what
arithmancy is.
It even means. Like, I'm like, damn, I'm kind of proud of him.
Mind blown. Yeah, it's like so interesting that she's like, wow, all I had to do is break up with him and suddenly he like has a brain.
Oh my God. He has to think for himself for 2 seconds.
Yeah. But he really did need to split up with them for him, yeah. for Ron to be like his own person.
Yeah, and like he found himself.
Invaluable.
Yes, found yeah. himself in jail, honestly. And so, yeah, they're trying to get like groups of people out, get the anchor for like the apparition wards like to go down basically so they can just apparate right out of Azkaban. But they get split up from like an explosion, and he meets like Draco meets his aunt and uncle, Ted Tonks, Andromeda, Oliver Wood, Augusta Longbottom. And Draco's like, wow, what a fun time for a family reunion.
Hi, Auntie.
Yeah, hi, Auntie Dromeda. But yeah, and Ted gets hit. First, like, Oliver and Augusta Longbottom, like, low-key sacrifice themselves so they can keep running. And Augusta Longbottom is like, go find your daughter to the Tonkses.
Yeah, but doesn't do any good because they die.
Yeah. Sorry. That was really sad. Well, Ted went first, and yeah, it was nice that Andromeda got to be like, no matter what happens tonight, like you're
making the right choice. Yeah. He really needed to hear that.
And
baby.
I'm so sad that Andromeda and Narcissa never really got a reunion. I feel like that would have like.
But Narcissa wasn't ready for it right now. So sorry.
Well, now it's never going to happen.
Yeah. Damn. Also, like Dementors kiss Crab.
Yeah, they start turning on the Death Eaters.
Yeah. So they're kissing Crab and sorry.
Also, I was reading Lionheart book 3, and you know there's Dementors all over the castle. So Draco's at one point, Lionheart Draco is like, yeah, just one thing though, I really fancy keeping my soul right here inside my body rather than it getting sucked out of my mouth like a good fine soup.
I can't wait to read.
Okay. Lionheart Draco, honestly. kills elite.
So anyways, like, Dementors are kissing Crab and Draco's like hanging on by thread.
No, he's unwell.
And they're about to kiss him too. They're like, ooh.
Yeah.
I was saving the best for last.
Yeah. But then he like hears Hermione's voice like doing the runes for the taking down the apparition ward.
Yeah, and that does that it for him.
Does it for
that's such a strong memory that he's like, Expecto
Patronum.
And it's a hippogriff.
I thought it was gonna be a dragon.
I mean too.
It was like
a hippogriff. I just want one scene where like it's Draco's like Corporal Patronus and Buckbeak just like squaring just up to looking, each other.
He looks at me. He looks at me. I'm just like that one apology and bow to Hippogriff and like it changed his entire identity.
But it took like this stupid memory that like helps him.
Yeah, and he needed that Hippogriff Patronus because you know a ferret wasn't going to do anything.
No, that's true. And he's like, yeah, I'm in love with Hermione.
Yeah, it's like, first of all, just get out of there first. You'll figure it out later.
And they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do. Unfortunately, little boy is having nightmares. Aww. But he's like stuck in the tent with his parents.
Yeah, well, he just lost his aunt.
Yeah. And then he like gets out in like a fit of like a nightmare and he's about to like go to Hermione, but then he's like, no, I'm going to go to her with all of my problems. Yeah. And he doesn't want to do that. But then he like hears her coming down as well. And like also like a little bit in tears and stuff. And so, and then they just go at each other.
I think they hug.
Oh yeah. And then they
I think they need some cuddles. Yeah. But yeah, maybe after that.
I love the like.
The comfort.
Yeah, mutual trauma bonding. And it's like, I can't lose you.
You love a trauma bond.
I'm sorry. I'm toxic.
Also, they were concerned that Ron would be like weird with like Draco and Hermione and they don't know how to tell him. Also, he's like getting dragged into like, not dragged, like he's helping with like organizing and strategy and stuff in the order. So everybody has like a place. And then also they're all like working on the Hallows and stuff still, and this is when they go and talk to like Luna, and Luna like confirms the whole Deathly Hallows.
I forgot thing. Luna's
there. Yeah, Luna's there, and she spends all her time with Ollivander. Aww. And for the Azkaban breakout, like Ollivander made a shit ton of extra wands so that like the prisoners could have wands again.
Aww.
Which is so nice.
Yeah. Imagine he makes all these wands and the wands like fucking hate like all of the prisoners, like don't want to be with them at all.
I think the prisoners are like, beggars can't be choosers.
The wand needs to feel like
thing. Oh, I think this is when Harry makes the connection that like the snitch that Dumbledore left him has the resurrection stone. And he's just like, I can bring everybody back. And Draco's like, you can't bring them back. And Harry's, I don't know like what comes over Harry. He just kind of gets like lost in some delusion.
You know, he is still that little boy who sat in front of the mirror of Erised for like hours. You're right.
Oh, that's actually so sad when you just said that.
Sorry.
That's so fair, actually. Yeah. Sorry, Harry. Yeah, so because they're also still running their reinformation campaign, they decide to do like a big, like they are printing a whole bunch of flyers with like all the right information, what the order is actually trying to do, because they made it seem like the ministry is unstable and they're
I'm
priming.
Like, what is that gonna do? I just feel like, why are we wasting our time with this? Like, what?
Because they've made it so that like Harry was, or like they made it seem that like Hermione was responsible for Dumbledore dying. Harry was like responsible for the ministry attack.
Who cares? Like, they're trying to kill Voldemort. Like, let's get the Horcruxes.
But this is how propaganda works, and you have to like,
I guess, who cares about the population?
And I think also this is how like the support for the resistance and the order is getting bigger.
Oh, because they need some like schmoney.
By spreading the word.
Yeah.
Draco's part of like the flyover drop. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he was originally, but he got added in because I think Tonks couldn't do it or something. I forget, but he's now going to fly and his parents are acting really weird. Like, where are you going to go? Like, why are you going? Blah, blah, blah. They're like, don't do it. And so then he kind of gets a little spooked being like, why are they so worried? They shouldn't know that anything's happening today, and get like called an emergency cancel on the whole mission. Mm-hmm. And right as they're leaving, I think their location like was Diagon Alley, and right as they're leaving, like spells go to attack them and they're able to get away. Yeah, he's like, oh my god, like my parents have been leaking information, like how have they been doing it?
Also, before this, we didn't talk about how Draco and Pansy have a little reunion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is it before this or is it after?
Yeah,
oh,
before this. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's casually just like.
Because I forget that, like, obviously, like, the Pansy is a prisoner.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She's in one of the safe houses. So then he asks Ron, who's like helping coordinate all the safe houses, like, oh, I need to talk to Parkinson. And Ron's like, bright red.
Why?
Oh, yeah. And he's like,
because she's my friend.
Yeah, because so he just and then also like when Ron brings her over, like she's like they're about to go talk in the library and she's like, well, aren't you going to join for our little Hogwarts reunion? So then it just ends up being like Draco, Pansy, Ron and Hermione and Harry just all like crickets.
Hey, I know. I think like it's really sweet that we obviously like Draco and Pansy. It's really nice that they hug and Pansy's like, you traumatized
me.
Yeah,
she's like, well, come here then.
I just thought you were dead and now you're not. Aww. And like, yeah. And then I think it's like so funny that Hermione's like watching them like a hawk.
Yeah, she's like, don't get
too comfy.
No, don't get fresh now.
But I would also feel the exact same way that Hermione's feeling.
Draco, I mean, sorry, Ron is just like having a crash out.
Yeah, like, so because like I think remember Pansy was just like, remember me like when you see my face, because he's just like, we'll always be friends.
Yeah, or something like that. And she's also like, don't forget the things I told you.
Yeah.
And then so then when like she's like to Ron, she's like, you didn't tell them that we were cellmates, and everybody's just like,
you were cellmates. What? And they were roommates.
And then they were roommates. Looks right at him. He's like, I thought I told you to remember the things I said. And Ron is up going to actually pass away.
He's not being subtle at all. None of them can be subtle.
I like how like Draco and Hermione are just doing the dishes later, and they're just like, and Draco's like, so how long do you think it'll take for him to act on it? And she's like, oh my god, you saw that too? I'm like, not you guys being an old married couple. Like, so this cute. Is crazy.
I also think she's probably just like really happy that there's no residual feeling.
Yeah, yeah. She and she's also like, thank god, now it's gonna be so much easier to tell them.
Yeah,
like about us.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah, a little switcheroo, just like switching boyfriend and girlfriend.
A little switcheroo,
like going back to basically like Draco's parents damn near like telling on themselves and stuff.
Also, he just like borrows Harry's cloak for a while and is just like,
is it being like, how watching is this? Yeah, how are my parents like?
He's just standing there. I'm just like laughing at the image. He's just under the cloak, like they're talking to Bellatrix. They're standing in some hedges.
Extendable ears.
Narcissa and Lucius Malfoy using extendable ears.
Like hiding in the bushes.
In
like,
the bushes.
Narcissa, please. Like, you come from society.
In the trees.
Draco learns that the cup is with Bellatrix. Mm-hmm. Because he overhears Bellatrix being like something about like the vaults.
Basically, like he is like,
he's just like, mom and dad, like they never let me in any meetings, but they're trying to find things.
Yeah. Oh, and also then, in the middle of all of this, Hermione like works on like the dark mark spell, and Hermione and Remus and Tonks join them.
Yeah.
And then they kind of learn about them being a thing.
And then it's like, I think it's really sad that they have to continually like do this process, and it's like really painful to like remove the dark mark.
Yeah, and that visceral reaction of him like seeing that it's not gone right away, he's just like, why is it still here? And Remus has to be like, no, it's gonna be here for a little while, but he can't like summon you and like locate you anymore. Yeah.
What if you like accidentally brush it? You know what I mean? Like, I'm so scared for like,
I would never touch it.
Like, saran wrap it like every day. And he was going back. He like tells his parents that he'll spy for the Death Eaters. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my god, thank god. And then he shows the mirror.
They like literally drag him to the mirror. They're like, talk to Bellatrix. Like, it's a freaking FaceTime. He like asks the right questions and she's like, okay, like see where they're looking for this object. Like,
is this where she's like, it's in Gringotts? Something. Like,
she's like, see if they're looking in libraries and forests and even banks. And he's like,
okay.
I got it. This is like a divergence from canon. They don't break into Gringotts. Mm-hmm. They want Bellatrix to get the cup out of Gringotts.
Yes.
But the plan is they stage like a fake conversation with Griphook and stuff of like acting like the goblins are going to let them break into Gringotts. And like Draco lets his parents bring the mirror to like Bellatrix, like to hear that happen. Mm-hmm. And so so that she'll go to Gringotts and get the cup out.
Oh, smart.
Also, they call it the Cup of the Covenant, and I'm just like, why is that what it's called? Like, he's just
kind of, also sounds so familiar. Where's that from?
This fic. I don't know.
Is it from Catholicism?
Yeah. It is like he's a dark lord.
Okay.
They are his disciples or some nonsense. I don't know.
Anyways, Tonks finally has the baby.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I know. It's and a I boy. Like I like how they're just like, Draco, like, she wants to see you.
Oh, yeah. Aww. Also, they ask Draco to be the godfather. Like, who's the godmother? It's not Hermione.
I feel like it would be. Who would it be?
Who would it be?
If you're Tonks, who would be the godmother?
Ginny? Molly?
Where is Ginny?
Ginny's there.
Is she?
Yeah, I think her and Draco. Ginny and Draco. Yeah, Ginny's there. Harry and her just kind of picked right up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, I like how like Draco holding a baby and like Hermione saying Draco hold a baby like gets her like into a spiral and she's like, listen, you have to tell me if this is real for you or
also,
not.
Also Draco's like, yeah, I've had lots of babies. Pureblood babies are like so important. And she's like, I'm not holding that baby. Don't.
No, did you see its skull? It's like squishy.
Yeah, their skulls are squishy. They are.
Yeah. And so basically she's like, I can't, is this gonna be serious because I don't want...
tell me if this is real for you because it's real for me, blah, blah, blah.
And he's like, I love you too.
I'm like, don't laugh at her, you bitch, like, you've been in love with her for ages.
She's like, what? Well, I love you. And then they kiss, and then they're kissing and they're moving, and then they bump into Ron and Pansy also kissing.
Oh yeah, I think they crash into all four of them, like crash into each other, and they're all like holding hands, like the two couples,
and they're like,
I knew it. And then the other two are like, you did? And then Harry walks out and he's like, oh, straight out. Now I can tell Ginny about all four of you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I would have told Ginny ages ago. No, you're the worst boyfriend ever.
You're so right.
She's going to, don't tell Ginny now. You're going to be in a fight, bro. In Bellatrix's POV, we read that. Like, she just kills Thickness.
Yeah, like,
she's just like got tired of his shit.
Damn.
I think it was to kind of destabilize everything so that she can move the cup. I'm not sure why she kills the Thickness. She just got sick of him.
Unhinged.
Yeah. Unhinged, bro.
Draco tells his parents he's like pretending to be with Hermione. And like, it's like so awkward. He's like
shaking in his boots.
Yeah. And he's like seeing how his parents respond.
Yeah. And Lucius is just like, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah. He's like, the fuck?
Okay.
I'm also surprised that they were not
more disgusted.
Yeah, they weren't like zero reaction. I think Lucius is just in survival mode because he's like shit scared of Bellatrix like actually killing them.
It's like her Crucio is so strong.
Very Crucio-y. The plan that they had with the goblins, they like staged that, put it into motion. And then all of this, I feel like, is like one long day.
It's
such like basically this battle at Gringotts goes into like the rest, like through the end of the fic, and I'm like I'm tired for them.
Yeah.
So basically like they stage the fake convo, Bellatrix falls for it. Like he has to like basically leave his parents and they're like, don't leave us, like freaking out because like he's a part of the plan and they don't know it obviously. And so he like leaves them in a hurry, but then they chase after him without him knowing and see him like I think like taking Polyjuice or transfiguring himself and like apparating into Diagon Alley or like Ollivanders or whatever, where like, and then obviously they're going to follow him. Like, we know that's going to happen.
And then of course there's like a battle at Gringotts.
Yeah, because basically I think like the way they do it is like they're hiding out. They're waiting for Bellatrix. And then when she realizes that, like, there's the
order is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also it's just them four. Like, they can't freaking tell anybody. I'm like, you could have told people.
Like, why are you in, like.
You have a whole army.
Like, yeah,
you
have, army the resistance is, like, adults, is there. Dude.
Yeah. And tell the adults that you just need the cup. Literally. Like, just say you need the cup. This is crazy. But
yeah, I don't know why it needs to be so like hush hush about like what they're doing.
Yeah. Like, I think they like call it out later during the Battle of Hogwarts. Like, you don't have to say everything.
Yeah.
You can just be like, kill the snake.
But Bellatrix finds out Draco's real allegiances because of legitimacy.
Yeah. Because in the fight, basically, she gets a hold of Hermione. And also, like, there's literally gold pouring out of this bank because she used, like...
the Geromino spell or something?
Yeah. And also, she used it, like, as a ruse. Like, she let people, like, break in as, like, a ruse for, like, getting the cup out of there. And so then people were distracted by all this gold out in the street. But, yeah. So then, like...
because- who Dobby and Winky save who?
Dobby and Winky save Draco, Ron, and Harry.
Wow.
And they wait until the last possible second
misogyny.
To see
him. They hate women.
Yeah.
The one woman who tries to save elves and they're like, not you.
It's actually so sad that Hermione gets left because like they wait until the last possible second. Like they were the contingency plan or whatever, I think. And they waited to see if Hermione could possibly like get let go and like. And also in the midst of all this, the sword gets passed from like one person to the other. Yeah. Lucius somehow gets it.
Stabbed.
Motherfucker cannot hold a sword, I guess, the right way and kills himself.
I think like it. To me, I'm like, oh my God, the sword of Gryffindor is sentient.
No, literally.
It's like, who the fuck is holding me?
She turned herself around and she struck.
Shank.
Yeah. And it was like really very sad, but like very poetic the way a speechwriter wrote it. Like Draco just as he's getting apparated away, sees his dad in like a pool of gold.
Oh my God, I know.
But Narcissa and Hermione get left, obviously, because like.
But it's okay. They have the Hufflepuff cup.
They do have the cup.
Yeah.
Yay. But they have no sword.
But they have no Hermione.
And they don't have Hermione. Draco's.
Spiraling.
Cannot function, obviously.
And then Harry's scar keeps burning, finds out that Voldemort is back in the country and that they're planning like a battle at Hogwarts. Their plan is to trade the cup for Hermione and Narcissa.
I'm just like, in all of this, like, are you gonna process your dad's death?
No, nope,
like,
we keep it pushing.
Yeah, he do. He be keeping it pushing. Like, 100%.
Bellatrix takes Hermione and Narcissa to Snape at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
And because I'm just like,
oh yeah.
She's just like dragging them along and she's just like, Snape, I need your assistance. And Snape is just like, what, bro, what are you doing here? First of all, you know he hates Bellatrix. Like, hates her guts.
And then I think it's so funny that she's like, you remember Miss Granger? You remember her?
Yeah.
This mudblood?
Yeah. And I think she says something about how she's got like Draco all like up in like her wiles.
Ooh.
And Snape goes, I thought Miss Granger had all the charm of a wilting houseplant. He never misses.
I know. I love how in every fic he's just this like
he drops a line.
Stoic man in the corner
though.
With
bars. But it's also really sad because
his
as they're going through Hogwarts, like Hermione, obviously, like school is in session, it's dinner time. She like hears her friends in the Great Hall. She's silencioed.
Aww.
She tries to run for it and like she gets crucioed. And it's kind of sad.
It was really sad. But what did she expect?
Kidding. And like so much stuff happens. Like they get left in Snape's office, like her and Narcissa.
I also think it's really sad that, you know, Hermione is in Hogwarts. So is Draco and Harry. But like they're just like, we need to get like we still need the plan to like try and get the other.
Well, they start mobilizing.
What are they trying to do?
Well, they're trying to find Hermione. They're also mobilizing like troops into Hogwarts. I don't think they know it's going to be a battle, but I think they kind of know because Harry knows that Voldemort's back in the country.
Also, like Draco and Harry try to go to the Chamber of Secrets. So they know that, okay, we don't have the sword. So we need basilisk venom.
Yeah. Or that happens in a bit, I think. Before all of the Peter Pettigrew stuff, Narcissa and Hermione kind of talk. They like find a little like potion in Snape's headmaster's office that like lets them blow a little hole in the door and try and run, but then Peter catches them.
Oh no, I feel like Snape
fucking
left
Peter.
That for them.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I don't know where Snape went, but yeah, you know, I think he's gone to like,
he's like,
welcome Voldemort. Yeah. He's like, I've given them the tools they need to do something for themselves.
Pull their own weight.
Freaking Peter is like, I can't believe he's still here, honestly.
God.
But yeah, so he gets them, like he petrificuses them, and then he gets to the chamber somehow. How does he know about it? I forget. But
Because he sees Draco and Harry, right?
Yeah, so basically they're down there. They get the basilisk fangs, and then they, like, Peter sneaks up on them, and Harry, like, talks him down and is like, you're like, look at how you're treated, you're like their little bitch. And Peter's already
get up, Peter.
Girl, get up. But yeah, so he's just all like right. Obviously we know Peter's hand issue, like he changes his mind, lowers his wand, and that thing gets him good.
Who gets him?
Like the silver hand, like he chokes himself because like
he's Voldemort, turning against
Voldemort Dark Lord. Charmed it so that if he ever betrayed the Dark Lord, it would like kill him.
Damn, that was kind of smart. The one thing about the Dark Lord, he'd
be covering his bases. One thing about Tom Riddle, but yeah. So then like basically there's like battles just raging out, like you see McGonagall employing all of her like reinforcements. People are coming in to fight. There's
boom. Is that what happens?
Yeah, and also she makes all the desks and she transfigures them into lions.
Whoa! Yeah. Transfiguration comes in handy.
And also, like, because Peter's dead, like his petrificus on Hermione and Narcissa fades.
And
I think they're running out. I don't know where Narcissa goes, but I think Draco and Hermione find each other and they're just like hugs. But they got to start fighting quickly.
He's like, oh, I know about like Bellatrix's Crucio. Like, I know it's really bad.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. He's like, are you okay? He learns about it. I think she tries to be like, I'm okay. And he's like, no, you're not okay. And she's like, your dad's dead. Are you okay?
And he's like, oh, I forgot about that. Sorry. Did not
thanks
process.
For reminding me. Yeah. But yeah, I think like, I don't know when they destroy the cup.
I don't know, but don't they, Draco and Harry go up to Snape's office?
Yeah, they go up to Snape's office. I forget when like Hermione and Ron get separated from them, but basically there's like a big boom of Death Eaters like breaking in and people are fighting. And also Fred and George die. I think the way she wrote it was so like haunting, it actually gave, like, I actually cried. Aww. Like, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it, because it's like, I think George falls, and like to hold off like the battering that's incoming, like Fred like lets everybody run, and he's like, he will not leave his brother behind. Mm-hmm. And like he dies like shooting off spells and then falls next to his brother. The saddest thing, actually. And like obviously Ron cannot cope with that. And I think in all of this, like Draco and Harry have to like run up to
Snape's office. Yeah. And they see him and his Patronus, and they're like, oh my god, his Patronus is a doe.
They see his Patronus first, and also they see like Crab, like, or sorry, like, yeah, like somebody else has been like beaten on the floor there. Ooh, I don't know.
Not a good sign.
Yeah, but then with the Patronus, because I think Snape tried talking to them the first time they ran into him, and they like,
fuck off.
They like, I don't know, sent a bunch of
hex.
A stinging jinx. Yeah, so this time he gives them the memories, and then he also like explains like that he's been on their side this whole time. Mm-hmm. And also it's like a really good point that immediately Harry is like, okay, well, you can go kill the snake. And Snape is like, you've known that like I'm on your side 2 seconds, and you're just like sending me off into
like
to
you
killing
and
myself.
Dumbledore.
Yeah, literally. I kind of fell for him. Like, that's actually such a valid point.
Yeah,
like he's just been used and abused in this war.
Quadruple agenting.
For decades. I feel so bad.
He's like, all because I called Lily a mudblood once. I'm just kidding.
I had a friend once. But yeah, so
Draco watches Snape's memories.
I love that he watches the memories.
I love it too.
Yeah. And also remember right before Snape leaves, he's like, is the Granger girl still alive?
Yeah.
And Draco's like, yeah. Like, what do you want with her? He doesn't know why Snape's asking, obviously. And then he sees the memories with Harry, and it's like, so like I still feel so sad for Snape, because like you just see Draco, and Draco I think says like, he's like, it's like watching his own life but in reverse.
I know, like that's so sad.
What, like a full circle like moment almost.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm not gonna be like Snape.
Yeah, but because Draco's all up in his feels, like Harry just gets him with a a stupefy.
Why does he do that?
Because he doesn't want, because he realizes he's also coming to the conclusion.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I literally forgot. Why does he do that? Harry Potter storyline.
Oh, yeah, he's so focused on the Dramini part of it.
Sorry, he figures he's a Horcrux and he's like, I need to go and kill myself. But like, would Draco stop him?
Yeah, he was about to raise his wand against Harry and Harry was like, got you first.
Yeah. Expelliarmus. No. He's so good with it.
No, but he was like stupefied. No, actually, no. I think he was like Petrificus to attack.
Damn.
Puts on the cloak, gone. And then Hermione finds him. I wrote, like, he petrifies Draco, goes to go get himself off. Yeah, so basically then it's like Hermione finds him. They're looking at all of these fallen people in the Great Hall. I think he finds Narcissa as well. And she's just, like, unwell, obviously. But I think she knows where he stands. Mm-hmm. You know, she talked to Hermione. She's like, yeah, this is what's happening. But yeah, and like you just like it's like Voldemort's coming out of the forest and like they're just like Harry's just floating floating up ahead.
So like the final battle is kind of crazy. Silencing charms keep breaking, body binds from Voldemort keeps breaking too.
Weird.
Voldemort calls out Draco to humiliate him.
He's just like waxing poetic and he's like, oh, I know who I want up here.
Draco.
Yeah.
I remember in canon when he... Wait, not in canon. Wait, in canon, does he hug Draco? Or, like, is it just in the movie?
I think he hugs him in the movies. Yeah. I don't know about the book,
like,
actually.
And then he gives him a little pat.
This final battle compared to the book final battle is... It's, like, 3 years long. It's so long. So much happens. Yeah. And then he's, like, up there just, like, humiliating Draco.
Yeah, but Snape is alive.
Yeah, so. Snape is... next to him, still pretending to be like on Voldemort's side.
Yeah. And Snape like suggests killing Draco with Nagini, like for Slytherin.
He's like, let's kill him with the symbol of his house.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Draco's so, like, ooh, I know
what you're thinking. Yeah.
It's a big brain moment.
You're so smart, Snape. And so Nagini is like finally let out and Draco kills Nagini, but it bites Pansy first. Like how?
I don't know, because it's a fucking massive like 60-pound snake like thumping around. Like, wow. <"Wow." laughs> It's like boom, boom. And he like, I think as soon as Draco, like somebody holds the snake for him to stab, I think Ron. And so Draco kills Nagini.
Yeah, but
the last Horcrux.
I know. Look at Draco.
Poetic justice. He's on a roll.
Yeah, but and Voldemort realizes that Snape betrayed him.
Yeah.
And see Snape and Remus like protect Harry, who's alive.
Yeah, just up and at him.
And he kills Snape and Remus.
Yeah, he like does something for them and like just slashes like big black lines across their chest or something. Mm-hmm. I forget, but they're just like, oh my god, like there's so many things happening, like Bellatrix is like the fights are breaking out
and Bellatrix is trying to kill Draco.
Yeah, she is big mad.
hella mad.
Narcissa's like, not my son, you bitch. that's so like, I'm happy for you, Narcissa, but damn, you lost your husband because he can't hold a sword right. And then you had to kill your sister and it's been all, is this one day? I think so.
It's one long day. I guess she realizes what is important and it's drink.
Yeah, I think she's just like, yeah, that's my son.
Yeah.
But also like after all of that, like Bellatrix dies and obviously Voldemort's gonna have a little
tussle with Harry.
Yeah, and so then Harry needs to like, but Harry like needs to explain. This is like, it's funny because like this way, like everybody knows like everything that went down, and I think that's really good.
Yeah, because Harry needs to monologue everything.
Yeah, he monologues everything. I'm like, wow, Tom's really like sitting there. He sat for this lesson. He sat.
Yeah, he tells them like a whole lecture about why the wand isn't working for Voldemort.
He's like, isn't it funny that your silencing charms keep breaking? And like,
and says that he has the Elder Wand.
Yeah. And also he's like, and you can't even kill people, right? Because you look over and Remus and like Snape are standing up. Yeah.
Oh, wait,
they're alive. They're alive.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm. I love when Snape lives.
Yeah, we lost the twins, but we did get we kept Can Remus. Can we
revive them back? Come on, get the Elder Wand. Do some the resurrection necromancy. Stone.
But you know, they'd be sad boys on this earth. They're not like fine, really here.
Whatever. Or is it Harry that's like, yeah, because Draco disarmed Dumbledore and then I disarmed Draco. So this Elder Wand is mine. Mm-hmm. And blah, blah, blah. Anyways, and then he fights Voldemort and then wins.
Finally.
It's been a long day, an eon.
And also I like how Harry like gets trampled by everybody celebrating and like Hermione just like runs for Draco. And then because they're so stressed and like Ron is like so stressed about Pansy, Narcissa goes and like finds like Madame Pomfrey for Pansy, and she's like, cause she be injured.
Oh yeah, she's venomed.
And then like also Draco's like. Like he finally sees Harry. I kind of like their little like brotherhood almost. Mm-hmm. Like they Loki did the most for killing off parts of Voldemort.
Hell yeah.
In this fic. And he's like, I changed. Like also at one point, I think like with Malfoy and Voldemort, he's like, you can't do anything to change the tide of this war. And Draco's like, I already have.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But yeah.
Wand drop.
Yeah. And so basically like Draco's like, wow, you're going to have a hell of a fan club. And Harry's like, so are you. Hello.
But and Draco's like, oh my God.
Okay.
All right.
I mean,
it's like, it's about damn time. I've been just in these streets alone.
Yeah, fighting for his life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then I think, I don't know if it's an epilogue, but whatever. Like at the end, it's like.
He finally takes Hermione out to the to dinner where like Marcus Flint took her. And like earlier on, he was like, wow, he's taking you there because that's where like his parents got engaged.
It's like a super nice place.
Swanky. He's
very swanky. He's
like, oh my God, he must know someone from.
Also, like, I like that they have like a whole day plan. Like they have start out by visiting Pansy in the hospital wing.
Yeah.
And like Ron's it's like she's gonna meet her parents for the first time since like forever.
Yeah.
And like they're gonna, I think he like shows Hermione like some like a flat or whatever that him and his mom bought to live in. They're gonna like go to eighth year Hogwarts. I love an eighth year Hogwarts.
I know. And like, cause I'm just like, oh yeah, they are 17, 18. Yeah.
And that's true. And then they go to the restaurant.
Yeah. And I like how, you know, he was fighting like in the order because he wanted to build a world where he could take Hermione out. And that finally happened.
Yeah. And you also see that he's like reconciled now with the fact that like his dark mark shows. He sees like people at like other tables kind of looking at them and whispering, but he's not like all of that guilt and like shame that he felt is gone because he looks at like Hermione looking at him and like she's like she regards him as like such a high status, and he's just like proud of himself and she's proud of him, and like
it's so nice. I think it's so interesting that it's not like he himself being like, no, I joined the order. I had so many horcruxes that I killed. Like, I turned the tide of the war. Like, all of these things that happened in the final battle. And, like, I don't have any guilt anymore. No. None of that. It's like, he's like, the way Hermione looks at me, like, I'm good. He's like,
I know that I've, like, done enough to, like, win her regard. The end. Yes. Such a good. This is my Deathly Hallow. This is canon. This is my canon.
It's really good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Great camping.
Mm-hmm.
Much better on the camping.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
With sensual haircuts.
Ooh, loved the haircut. Loved.
And drinking and lots of like missions.
Yeah.
Way more missions.
Do you think that they like, do you think that Narcissa is like, all right, bring Hermione around to dinner?
She's like, she needs some lessons.
Yeah.
In etiquette?
Yeah. Narcissa's booking her for dance classes and etiquette classes and all this stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, I think like.
Do you think they're head boy and head girl in eighth year?
I love that.
A shared common room, you will.
Ooh. The room of requirement?
Oh, the come and go room.
Ooh. On that note, I think it's time to end it. Yeah. This was the complete two-parter.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming. Hopefully we did it justice. I know people were really excited for this one.
We hoped you had a good time because we had a great time.
Yeah, and also we can't record this again.
No.
It was
it was a lot.
It's such a long fic and it's so good, but so much happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Neha, do you think that we managed any mischief today? Yeah,
we disappeared the shit out of the mischief.
Again. We disappeared it. Oh yeah, we disappeared.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, I said we disappeared this mischief.
Oh my god, we really disappeared.
We disappeared it twice.
We were under the invisibility cloak.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening and being a part of this little Dramione book club. Please rate us, preferably 5 stars, and don't forget to click that little follow button to get a notification every time we post, which is every other Monday.
And make sure to check us out on social media where we create content quite regularly. Our TikTok is at Dramione Diaries Pod and our Instagram is at Dramione Diaries. Bye! Bye.